Imagine you're looking out over 6 million hectares of prime agricultural land, and it's just completely silent. No tractors, no crops, just dirt.
Well, welcome to today's deep dive.
Yeah, that is a pretty bleak picture, but it's exactly what we're looking at today.
Right, so we are examining a specific 2011 document from South Africa. It's the policy framework for the Recapitalization and Development Program, or, RADP.
And our mission today is really to unpack what happens when government land reform hits harsh economic realities and how this specific policy actually tried to engineer a fix.
Okay, let's unpack this because giving away free land basically accidentally crippled an entire agricultural sector. I mean, land reform was failing because new owners were just handed deeds without the infrastructure needed to actually operate the farms.
Before this 2011 policy, the pace of land transfer was, well, it was incredibly slow. But the real crisis was operational.
Operational in what way? Like they didn't have the tractors and stuff.
Right. When the land did transfer, the new farmers lacked the capital and the resources. So that is the root cause of those 6 million hectares of acquired land falling completely out of production.
Wow, 6 million. It's like handing a junior employee the keys to a Fortune 500 company without a CFO or an operating budget. I mean, the infrastructure is there, but the operational oxygen is just completely cut off.
That's a great analogy. And the national consequences of cutting off that operational oxygen were severe. South Africa was sliding toward becoming a net importer of food.
Just because local farmers couldn't compete with subsidized imports, right?
Exactly. So the policy had to shift. It had to pivot away from purely focusing on equitable ownership, and it had to urgently prioritize commercial viability, sustainability, and, national food security.
But saving those dormant farms creates this totally new problem, because if the government just buys the jet fuel, you risk creating permanent dependence.
Right, which is why the framework introduced a 5-year financial taper. The REDP actually takes 25% of the baseline land reform budget just to fund these farms.
But it operates on a really strict countdown, doesn't it? Like, year one, the government covers 100% of the approved business plan.
Yeah, 100%. And then year two, it steps down to 80%, then 60%, 40%, and finally 20% in year five.
So mechanically, the farm has to replace that lost 20% year over year through its own generated profits. They're basically engineering financial independence.
Yes, through a highly structured weaning process.
Wait, so at year six, the tap just turns off entirely. I mean, a farm isn't a tech startup, it's at the mercy of nature. What if they face a sudden disaster right after that fifth year?
Well, by year six, the business absolutely must be entirely self-sustaining. The only safety valves for extra funding after that 5-year cycle are strictly defined as exceptional situations.
Like what? What counts as exceptional?
We're talking about severe adverse weather conditions or sudden pestilence. Barring an act of nature, the expectation is absolute self-reliance.
Man, that is a massive amount of pressure. I mean, money alone doesn't bridge a severe skills gap when a 5-year clock is just, ticking down.
No, it really doesn't. You can't just mandate profitability without teaching someone how to actually run the operation.
Right. So how did they handle that?
Well, what's fascinating here is how the policy forces that knowledge transfer. The framework actually mandates mentorship and strategic partners.
Oh, but the document insists on strict risk sharing, right? Like, the partners can't just be consultants offering friendly advice.
Exactly. They need to have real skin in the game. I mean, they have to bring corporeal assets.
Which means physical, tangible investments,
Yeah.
like bringing their own tractors or actual seed capital.
Or they need to engage in share equity schemes where their own money is on the line if the farm goes under. They can also use contract farming.
So the partner guarantees to buy the harvest, but shares the production risk. It basically ties their own financial survival directly to ensuring the new land beneficiary learns how to run the business profitably.
Yes, and they have to do it before that 5-year funding window slams shut. They aren't just buying equipment, they're buying aligned incentives.
That is so smart. And this is exactly why you should care about a 2011 agricultural framework. I mean, this document is a fascinating case study in systems thinking.
It really is. It illustrates how to design a structure that heavily supports people initially, but intentionally forces them into independence over time.
Right, because it bridges the gap between ownership and capability. It acknowledges that giving someone an asset is just meaningless if you don't equip them to actually sustain it.
Which is a lesson that applies way beyond just agriculture.
Absolutely. Which leaves you with a question to mull over today. If a strict 5-year tapering of support forces a massive agricultural operation to become sustainable, Where else in our own lives or in our businesses could an intentional tapering of a safety net actually drive our ultimate success?